So Exodus 15, what a beautiful time we've had in God's Word already. God delivering His children after 430 years with the 10 plagues, the last being the beautiful picture of our salvation, the blood of the innocent lamb being shed and put on the doorpost to protect them from the death angel coming through, picturing our salvation through the blood of the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately after being delivered, God led them, as we saw last week, to a place where they were trapped against the Red Sea and the army of Egypt. That was intentional on God's part to begin to, as we talked about this morning, to begin to test them, to see if they would trust Him in the midst of impossible situations, which that was an impossible situation. And of course, they failed that first test. But God delivered them anyway, praise God, and brought them, as you know, through the Red Sea, which we saw last week, where Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today." And God said, "Go forward." And as soon as they stepped out by faith to go into the Red Sea, God parted it. They walked through in dry land, made it to the other side, and God killed Egypt's army. Which brings us, interestingly enough, to chapter 15, where we find the first song in the Bible. Isn't that beautiful? Right after their redemption, right after seeing God's power of deliverance in their life, they sang a song. One of the reasons why we sing, because it's an act of worship. It's an act of adoring and elevating Almighty God, as we'll see tonight. So beginning in verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. In the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. With the blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out Thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength into Thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinian. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of Thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till Thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which Thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." So we'll stop there, and our title tonight is This Song Unto the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Word and just the many lessons You've already taught us in the book of Exodus, and teach us again tonight through Your powerful Word. And Lord, may we listen and learn and grow, and may Jesus be lifted up. So guide us in Your truth. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, this song unto the Lord. The first song in the Bible was unto the Lord. Every song in the Bible is unto the Lord. And We as God's children have a responsibility when we worship the Lord in song to make sure that our songs are unto the Lord. God, when we praise God, when we worship God in song, God is the audience. Think about that. The church family isn't the audience. God is the audience. We are praising God. Our worship is unto the Lord. And so performing has nothing to do with worship. It's about God. It's always been about God. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, sing unto the Lord all the earth. And this song, as we walk through it, what you're going to find is it's about God. It's not about man. Not about man's feelings. It's about God. In this song, the word Lord is in there 12 times. That's in these 18 verses. And he and him and thy and thou and thee 33 times. So that mentions God himself 45 times in 18 verses. It's about God. And when we open our hymn books, we should be able to just randomly open them and it should be about the Lord. Amen? Should be about the Lord. Not about us. Not about how we feel. Not about how happy we might be, but about God. And that is what this song is all about. They, like us, have now experienced redemption through the blood of the Lamb, and they have now witnessed the power of God by rescuing them through the Red Sea and destroying Egypt's army. And they stopped before going into the desert. And by the way, next week will be their next test. The desert will be filled with tests. But before all of that, they sang. And one thing I find quite beautiful is it looks like this particular song, it may not be for sure, but it looks like it will actually be sung in heaven. Let's see that in Revelation chapter 15, if we could, verse 3. But the Bible tells us that we are going, or at least the tribulation saints that escaped the tribulation will be singing in heaven something called the Song of Moses. Well, this is the only song of Moses that we find. Notice Revelation 15, verse 3. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So two different songs there, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So that makes this quite the song, doesn't it? And as I'd like to walk through it twice if I could. So it's easier for me, because it really talks about two main things, as every worship song should. Number one, who he is, and number two, what he's done. That's what our worship should be about. Who he is, God's character, and what he has done in his power. So let's go through this twice, if we could, and first talk about how it emphasizes God, his person. And that is starts in verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. God is a God of strength. Amen? We saw this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said to the Apostle Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God is a God of power, of strength, and he is to be our strength. But then it says, and song. Now that Hebrew word for song, you know I don't talk much about the Hebrew, is the word Zimrath. And if you look up Zimrath and understand what the word means, it's not just talking about the singing, but it also includes the music itself that goes with the singing. Because they did have people that were playing instruments at this time. And so when we get to the word song in the Old Testament, take for example, David said, he put a new song in my mouth, right? Psalm 40, verse 3. David, when he says that, he's not just talking about the words, but he's also talking about the music. That it's all to be unto the Lord. That word, God is my strength and he is my song. God is my song. And then we get to the New Testament, Ephesians 5:18. Turn there quickly if you would. We're told that you and I, one of the ways of helping to build ourselves up in the faith, in our spiritual maturity, is through none other than singing. A lot of people misquote this passage and think it's talking about congregational singing, which it is not. Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So you and I are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. That means to be led by the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. And then what does it say? Speaking to who? Yourselves. In songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, you make a melody in your heart to the Lord. That is not talking about congregational singing, is it? That means that singing unto the Lord should be a natural part of our Christian life. It doesn't even have to be audible. And for some people, that's probably a good thing. I'm just kidding. But it says in your hearts, right? And so when we get that time alone with God every morning and we're praying and we're in God's Word, another great thing maybe to look for would be a song that goes along with how God has spoken to you, and sing it in your heart all day long. You know how sometimes you hear a song and it sticks and you can't get rid of it? That sometimes can be a good thing if it's a song that's elevating the Lord. And that's what it says. Singing, you make a melody in your heart to the Lord. So when the Bible says, "You are my strength and my song," it's in Isaiah 12:2 as well. It's talking about everything about the song unto the Lord, not just the words, but the music too. So we see that God here, and again, the first time through this hymn, it's about who God is. God is our strength. God is our song. God is our salvation. Hallelujah. Verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power." God is a God of power. God tells us all through His Word that He is omnipotent. Jeremiah 32:27, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" We're told in 1 Timothy 6, the Lord omnipotent reigneth. So God is all-powerful. Do you see how the song is lifting up the person of God, the character of God? Verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness?" Well, if it's going to elevate the Lord, it's going to talk about His holiness. The number one attribute of God in the Bible, over 600 times in Scripture, is holiness is mentioned. When we get to Isaiah 6 and Isaiah is given a glimpse of heaven and we see the singing going on around the throne, are they singing, "God is love, love, love"? No. All they're singing is, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We see it again in Revelation. God is holy. Look at Psalm 99, verse 3, if you would. So again, they're elevating first the person of God. He is our strength. He is our song. He is our salvation. He is powerful. And He is holy. Look at Psalm 99, verse 3. "Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." Look at verse 5. "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." One of the reasons why we should worship the Lord is because He is holy. One of the reasons why we should praise the Lord is because He is holy. His name is holy. His word is holy. So in elevating the person of God, they're elevating His power, His strength, and His holiness. And then it says in verse 11, "Fearful in praises," of Exodus chapter 15, "fearful in praises." Is God worthy of praise? Of course He is. Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork," the Bible says. Psalm 19, verse 1. Everything is to praise God. And it says God does wonders. When we look at God's creation, we see nothing but wonders. And the more we learn about His creation, the more wonders we find. But God is a God of power. God is a God of holiness and praise and wonders. And as we see, of strength. He is our strength, and He is our song. But verse 18, the finish of the song. It says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. I love that verse. Short, but what a powerful message. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Look at Deuteronomy 10:17, if you would. And we're told that the reason this is so true is because of who He is. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. God is the God of gods, and He is the Lord of lords. And we're told all through the Old Testament that He shall be king over all the earth, that He shall reign forever and ever and ever. And so the first thing we see lifted up is the person of God, the character of God in this song. But the second thing that we see is what God has done. And when we sing unto the Lord, that's what He wants us to sing about. Who He is and the amazing things He's done. So they start there in verse 1. He hath triumphed gloriously. They're not saying, look what we did. Look, we destroyed the Egyptians. We got rid of the army. No, God did all that. God said, stand still and see what I'm going to do, right? And then they praise Him in song. He hath triumphed gloriously. God is a God of triumph. We're told in Colossians 2:15 that He triumphs over what? Principalities and powers. God triumphs over everything because He is God. He is Jehovah. He is everything. And then we're told in verse 13, Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. God is a God who leads His children. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? That He leads us. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads His children. And that's what it says, the people which Thou hast redeemed. God doesn't lead the unsaved, but He does lead His children. He leads those that have been redeemed. That word redeemed, as we know, means to be bought back. And the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, Ephesians 1:7. Talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, which has bought us back from sin, from the devil. And so God has triumphed. God leads us. God has redeemed us in verse 13. And Thou hast guided them in Thy strength. Praise God for His guidance. Look at Psalm 32, verse 8, if you would. Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. When God saves us, He doesn't say, I'll see you when you get to heaven. No, He says, I'm going to now show you the way. If you'll listen to me, I will lead you. And He gives us the Holy Spirit, and He gives us His word to do that very thing. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the Holy Spirit leads His children. Those whom He has redeemed, He will guide us, it says. And then verse 16, fear and dread shall pull upon them by the greatness of Thine arm. They shall be still as a stone till Thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which Thou hast purchased. God purchased us with the greatest price ever paid. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19, we'll turn there. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We have been purchased. Israel rejoicing that Jehovah had purchased them. And if you are one of the redeemed and purchased, verse 17 of our passage of Exodus 15, Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established. A If you're one of the redeemed, if you're one of the purchased, God promises that you will spend eternity in the mountain of his inheritance. How wonderful will that be? And that's in Revelation chapter 20. Let's turn over there if we could. And how many of our songs, we sang one tonight, talk about that inheritance that we haven't seen yet. Talk about heaven. Talk about spending forever with the Lord. Talk about Mark's favorite hymn, where you'll never grow old. Amen. That's lifting up the Lord's power. Lifting up the things he's done for us. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's hard for us to even imagine, and we can't completely imagine it. I had not seen nor ear heard. But it's hard for us to even imagine that we get to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on earth. Our inheritance, which is undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven. So the Bible says they sang this song unto the Lord. The first song of the Bible, every song in the Bible, is unto the Lord. It's not unto man. It's unto the Lord. They were not singing to each other. They were singing to God. And when we have congregational singing, we are not singing to each other. We are singing to God. And when we are here to worship him. What does the Bible say, John 4:24? We are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Which means our spirit is involved because it's been redeemed. It's been given life. And it puts forth truth. Doctrine. Truth about God. Truth about, first of all, who he is. Second of all, what he has done. As we see in this beautiful example of the Song of Moses. This song about Jehovah. Remember, all caps L-O-R-D. The Hebrew word is Jehovah. This song unto the Lord is a great lesson for us that whenever we've gone through deliverance, whenever we go into a trial, whenever we face any day, God says, do it by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. We should be singing a song unto the Lord. It is spiritual medicine for God's children. And as soon as next week, verse 19, trial. Bitter water, nothing to drink. Is that a mistake? No, that's God growing, testing his children, just like we talked about this morning. So this song unto the Lord, let's learn to do this. Amen? You know, we talk at Christmas time, let us adore him. Maybe introduce the song into your devotional time. Don't just pray, which is very important, but don't you do all the talking. Stop and let God do some talking through his word. And then find a song that speaks to you about how he has spoken to you and sing it unto him. Great, great spiritual medicine for God's children. The song unto the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this beautiful example of the first song in the Bible. And Lord, may we take heed to what it's about, that it exalts you and you alone, your person and your accomplishments and power. And Lord, may we always remember that's what it's about. It's worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I pray we'll take heed to that, Lord, and make that a vital part of our Christian walk. And Lord, that we would be children who are constantly singing unto our amazing God. Thank you for speaking to us from your precious word. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.